Hello, and welcome to Indie Business Podcast. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Well, you know, in this fast-paced, unprecedented, and unpredictable economy that we live in, so many people, and women in particular, are enjoying the ability to start a small business. And I've been in business for 11, almost 12 years now, and it is the most exciting and empowering and really confidence-building part of my life. And I love to encourage other people to be successful at it. But more than that, I love bringing you some of the most amazing people that I've had an opportunity to meet and learn from along the way. And today, we've got a fantastic lady to help you land in the CEO hot seat on both of your feet and ready to move forward. Today, we have Dr. Linda Henman as our guest. She is the author of Landing in the Executive Chair, How to Excel in the Hot Seat. I call this like the CEO in the Hot Seat show. Let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Henman. She holds a PhD in organizational systems, two Master of Arts degrees in interpersonal communication and organizational development, and a Bachelor of Science degree in communication. She is the leader at Henman Performance Group, an organization that helps businesses and their owners be successful and really just act as a guide to lead people through the roadblocks and pointing out the landmines that can just come along and you know, deter us from our goal. She is a fantastic business coach, and we have her all to ourselves for the next 30 minutes right here on my podcast. Welcome, Dr. Henman.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here, Donna Maria.
Now, Dr. Henman, your book is really geared toward any sort of business owner, big, small, even middle executives and all kinds of other people that are actually running businesses. So tell us a little bit about how your book can help us as very, very small businesses and even solo entrepreneurs, Dr. Henman, who really need to be that CEO in the hot seat but need to get the mindset of leadership, the mindset of running a business as opposed to just sort of daily, you know, doing the tasks that go along with it.
That's a great question and one that I receive quite often, that this book is for people who are already in the hot seat, but it's for those who aspire to be in the hot seat as well. And some of those people are small business owners. The reason that it is so good for the entrepreneur, the small business owner, the consultant, any of those people, is that when you run a small business, as I do and as you do, there's no margin for error. I'm working with a company right now, a very large company, that just made a $1 million mistake. Well, they can absorb that in a blink of an eye. But for you and me and for other women like us who have small businesses, a $1,000 mistake can be very devastating to us. So there's just no margin for error. We have to know how to do it better, and we have to know how to do it more effectively than our sisters in the larger organizations.
And you know, that's such a good point, no margin for error. And you're so right when we think about large companies being able to absorb those losses and even the smallest loss, not just in financial terms, either, Dr. Henman, but just in terms of the time it takes to write the loss, not just to write it off.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. And so your book is just really chock with fantastic examples, real-life examples, as well as inspiration. But I want to focus on one of the concepts here, which I think will help everybody get this week off to a fantastic start, and that is your notion of being firm but fair. It's actually the title of your first chapter. You call them F2 leaders. Fair? I'm sorry, did I say that wrong? Fair but firm. Tell us what you mean by that.
Great leadership is about balancing a concern for task with a concern for people. Obviously, we're in business because we want to do something. We want to sell something. We want to make a product. We want to sell a service. There's something we want to do as a task. It's the task side of our business. But we have to deal with people in order to do that. So in order to be effective, no matter what sort of company we're leading, we have to get that balance of the concern for task with the concern for people. And that's what I call F-squared leadership, firm but fair approaches to communication and leadership.
So the concern for task, and task is when you're running a business, do you mean making a profit, doing the day-to-day, being efficient, moving forward?
Absolutely. It's results. What results did you go into business to get? That
okay.
is what needs to be at the forefront of your mind.
And, you know, for small business owners, and really I'll call them micro business owners, okay, Dr. Hemman, because we're talking on this show mainly to people who run a business, not necessarily exclusively by themselves, but they're not relying on employees. They have a lot of contract help. They really use the cloud and the internet and all sorts of marketing opportunities, technologies on the internet. And we tend to focus on people a lot, which is really good, but sometimes we can do that to the detriment of focusing on those tasks.
You're absolutely right. And one part of my business is consulting and mentoring other consultants. So the people you're describing are people that I would call either consultants or boutique business owners. They're small, sometimes in business for themselves. And the problem is that the person that they have to manage is themselves. And so many of us have come from firms or large organizations, and we've learned now that we've got the worst boss we've ever had. We're working for ourselves. So the person that has to be managed is you, if you're an entrepreneur.
Very, very interesting way to think about that. And we always put ourselves last. I shouldn't say always, but as women, we do anyway. So does it sometimes stand to reason in your experience that you notice that as women, we may put ourselves last, which is a big no-no, but we all sort of struggle with that to some extent, I think. Most people do. Do you see any correlation between putting ourselves last and actually putting that task-focused effort into our business last as well?
They're absolutely tied together, because what we're doing is our specialty, our area of expertise, whatever it is, and it is a question of not only putting ourselves last, but undervaluing what we do. When I work with other consultants, my mantra has been and continues to be, you're not charging enough. You're not charging what you're worth. I was working with a very successful consultant who was charging a tenth of what she should have charged. This woman has intellectual property. She's the only person in the U.S. who does what she does the way she does it, and she's very good at it. But she just refuses to charge what she's worth. So when she sends me a proposal, she'll say, I've got one coming to you on email. I said, I don't even have to look at it. Put a zero after everything that you just submitted to me by terms of your fees, and you'll be in the ballpark, because I'll guarantee you, you're not now. We undervalue what we do.
I love that. Just add a zero and send
right.
it to me after that. That's a wonderful, just even, you know, even that perspective is fantastic. Just that reminder to that person that you need to make sure not only that the numbers work out, but that you're maximizing your profit potential when you set your prices, right?
That's it. And I don't have to say this more than once to my male clients. They get it. They have been raised to perhaps exaggerate their worth in some instances, but certainly not to devalue what they contribute. We have had the messages all along, don't draw attention to yourself. It's not ladylike. It's not right. The consultant that I just mentioned said, well, I have to sleep at night, Linda. I can't just charge all this. And I said, why can't you? You're the best. Why shouldn't you be fairly compensated for what you are good at? And by the way, nobody else can do as well as you can.
Oh, and you want to sleep comfortably, so you've got your heat on and all your
right.
and as comfortably with as you know, high a thread count as you possibly can, because you deserve it if you're working hard for that.
Well,
I love that
she,
point.
She
so let's
settling.
Talk a little bit more about this. Your book talks about why it is fair to be firm. So, you know, we think about powerful women like, you know, there's like you, for example, but, you know, even more well-known women like Martha Stewart and people like Oprah Winfrey and other people who are firm. I don't know if they're fair, really, but I certainly know that they're firm, because I can see that they're doing that. But even if they're firm and fair, they seem to get criticized for that. Can you share from your perspective where that criticism comes from? And how we as small business owners, even running our small ventures, need to respond to that in our own venues.
Well, traditionally, some of the criticism has come because powerful women have not been the norm. So the two that popped in your mind are on television, they're running businesses, they're making a lot of money. And they had to be firm along the way in order to get into that position. But we have very unflattering words for women who are firm, and we talk about them being witchy and too aggressive and all that sort of thing. And it's not necessarily true. But I'll tell you, the biggest criticism for my female clients, my consulting female clients, is the self-criticism. So you may get some criticism from outside, but you've got to look inside your office first and see if you're the voice that's giving the criticism.
Oh, my goodness. Now, that is enlightening. I really think it is. I love that you said that, too, because sometimes focusing on external criticism is sort of an excuse not to focus on the fact that we're criticizing ourselves too much.
Right.
Oh, gosh, I'm biting my nails over that one a little bit on this side. But that's a really good reminder, you know, and I'll just be honest. When I look at my own self, sometimes I do tend to be a little bit overly critical, but, of course, that's all ending now with my conversation with you and this fantastic book, Landing in the Executive Chair. So let's then talk then about our just to sort of generalize it, our sort of desire to be touchy-feely with our customers. And let me give you an example of what I mean. We are all, as small business owners, like I said, we are maximizing technology, right, Dr. Henman? We are out there. We are all over Facebook or wherever it is that's right for us to be. We're there. We're communicating one-on-one with our customers. This is something that is new to the business world, to have that one-on-one kind of communication with the person that just bought your product yesterday. We want to be firm, but we also need to maintain that approachability, that sort of, for lack of a better term, touchy-feeliness. Can you share some of your insights and tips on balancing that? Because it's not always easy.
Well, that's a really tough thing, and that's the reason the first chapter is devoted to that, Donna Maria, that so many people have trouble with that balance, and women in particular, I have found, have trouble with that balance, that the touchy-feely that you're describing is what I would call a negative term because it implies that you're doing things for the wrong reason. If you fear rejection and if you have problems with your self-esteem, you're going to tend to be touchy-feely. You're going to tend to overcompensate the relation part of things instead of concentrating on what we referred to as the task part of things before. In order to get this firm but fair leadership balance right, you have to have a strong sense of who you are, a strong sense of your self-worth, and both of those have got to be driven by excellence. Whatever you're trying to do, whatever it is you're trying to sell, you've got to be world class. So your self-esteem is based on reality and not getting a trophy because you played on the team kind of thing, but really based on the reality that you are the expert in this field, and that's why you cannot be ignored and people should come to you. That's not touchy-feely. That's responsive.
Responsive. So this can be learned, right, over time. I think, I hope it's fair to say that it can be learned by reading books like yours and communicating and being in connection with women and other business owners, male or female, who have sort of been there, done that, right? We can all learn to take on these capabilities as we move forward, right? We don't have to start knowing everything that you're describing right now.
We learned all this negative behavior that has caused the self-criticism and caused our problems in the first place. So we can unlearn that and learn something else, but it won't come naturally. As you mentioned, reading books on the subject such as mine can help, but here are two other ideas. First of all, hire an external mentor. I have worked with one the entire 9 years I've been in business by myself. I work with an external mentor. I just got off the phone with him 10 minutes ago, giving me advice about a client with something I haven't handled before. And the other thing is get in a mastermind group. I have been in a mastermind group since I went out on my own as well. These are three other like-minded individuals who live in different parts of the world. One is in the UK, one's in Canada, one's in Atlanta. We all do the same kinds of work, but we don't compete with each other. Two are men, the other is the woman. We give each other candid feedback. So if you're starting to get too much into the touchy-feely or too much into an arena where you shouldn't be, these trusted advisors, either the mentor or the mastermind group members, can bring you back to reality with saying you're undercharging for that or you're letting your emotions get in the way. Here's the logical way of looking at that.
Now I want to follow up on that with you. You're suggesting three things. This is so good. To read, and more reading. I love that. Just learn, listen, podcasts, whatever, wherever you can get your hands on. That is just, I mean, this stuff is available to everyone everywhere at practically free prices these days. So there's no excuse for not getting the information that you need. But the masterminding and the mentoring, I guess, slash coaching, right? Let me follow up with you a little bit on that. Do you recommend that people do both of those, and why? If and are they similar? And if you recommend that people do both, how are they different?
I recommend that people do both, because when you're in business for yourself, there is no sounding board, and you don't want to do what I call breathe your own exhaust too much, because it doesn't work in your best interest. But I will add this caveat. Find a coach or find mastermind group mentors who have done what you're trying to do or who are in the process of doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So here's how mine are different. My mentor is Alan Weiss, and he's a world-class consultant. He's written more books on consulting than anybody else in the world. I go to Alan for those kinds of things that I need specific advice about. But my mastermind group is more of a support group that, between talking with Alan, I use them to bounce ideas off. They're doing this right now. So I will say, tell me three things that you've done when you've done strategy with a client that will help you, because I've got one coming up in December. Mm-hmm. So we will discuss that, and the three other people on our November call will give me advice about this December session that I have planned with a client, just to sharpen my skills a little bit. Mm-hmm. Everything helps.
This is fantastic. I love that you described that. So your mastermind partners are people who are, you know, going through the waters right now, and your coach or your mentor is someone who is sort of on another level up from where you are, and he's sort of, as I said, been there, done that. And so you get those two perspectives, and you have the opportunity to consult based on what your needs are with one sort of group or the other.
Yes, and I recommend doing them both frequently.
Okay.
I attend Alan Weiss's events periodically during the year, and once a month we have the mastermind phone calls.
Excellent. Oh, that is just absolutely wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. So let's go back to some more of the nitty-gritty here in your book, and this sort of goes back to what you said earlier about, you know, it takes time and it's not natural to overcome our tendency to, you know, get stuck in the touchy-feely kind of a mode. And one of the things you talk about, in fact, one of the first things that you say can derail your success as the CEO of your business is a lack of self-awareness. Does this fit into what you're talking about?
Well, it is, because sometimes we don't realize what's driving what we're doing. And it takes an outsider to hold the mirror up and say, do you realize this is, that the client did not push back on this fee that you just quoted? You're the one who doesn't have the courage to do it. Now, what's that based on? Where's that coming from? Why are you not charging what you're worth? That's a sort of self-awareness that can kill the people listening to this program today.
And that is so wonderful. You know, I'm hearing you say, it's sort of echoing in my ears, don't breathe your own exhaust.
Right.
That is a priceless quote. Do you realize that?
Well, it comes from Alan Weiss. I will give credit where credit is due.
Okay. All right. Well, you said it here on my show, so I love that, though.
That's, I get credit too, huh?
Yes, and of course let's give some more credit to Mr. Weiss. He is the person who wrote the foreword for your book, and he's the author of Million Dollar Consulting. So there you go, guys. Another tip for you. Google that. Put that in your Google search engine. So lack of self-awareness, excellent for us to remember to think about. And you have a list of things here, and we can't cover them all, but one of the other ones that really stood out to me is not only failure to hire the best and the brightest, but you say failure to be the best and the brightest.
That's absolutely true, that so often people attain a certain level of success. They finish a degree, they finish a certification program or some other kind of mark, and then they don't go back to school, and they don't read. So I tell my clients, whether they are CEO clients in a large organization or individual consultants, that you cannot stop. You must invest at least an hour a day on your own development. Read the Wall Street Journal, read the local newspaper, read an industry publication. You have to be the expert on whatever it is your area of expertise, and you need to stay on top of that. You need to attend the conferences every year, or at least every other year, of whatever your area of expertise is. If you don't invest in you, nobody else is going to invest in you. So you have to be cutting edge at all times.
Mm-hmm. Cutting edge at all time. Invest in yourself. And that's such a really good point to make sure that people really relate to. Even just reading that local paper just opens your horizons. And, of course, you know, the worldwide papers are available to us now for practically free again on the Internet. it really gives us a big picture perspective for the small business that we have, right? Because we are the ones who get the brunt of the financial problems globally. And so if we don't know what those problems are, if we can't put our own minds to work, right, to sort of see them as they unfold and to see them coming down the pike at us, then we're powerless to position ourselves to be in the best situation when they trickle down to us, right?
Well, that is right. And another benefit of that is how you promote yourself. So, for example, if you read the Wall Street Journal and you see an idea, that's where I get some of my best ideas for my blogs, is the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
So I'm referring to something that's in the news currently. I'm a professional speaker and I'm an author. I have to have something to relate things to. So my blog last week was about the Cardinals winning the World Series here in St. Louis and talking about delegation and accountability on teams. So people find you more interesting when you are interested. So if you are interested in the world, you will be more interesting to your prospective clients.
People will find you more interesting when you are interested.
Right.
There you go again with another really good quote. Do you want to give some credit there, or is that one yours?
No, that one's mine.
All right. I love it. People will find you more interesting when you are interested. Very good. Now, you also say another derailer is failure to set priorities. And I really want to dive into this a little bit if we can in the time we have left, because what I see so many people doing is managing, you know, my time, I have to do this, I have to do this, and I have to do that, but not really relating it back to their priorities. Is that what you mean?
It is what I mean. You can't manage time. Each of us gets 24 hours a day. The universe is absolutely fair-minded in that respect. Nobody gets more, nobody gets less. It's what we do with it. It's time mastery that is related to prioritizing. I tell my clients all the time, if everything's a priority, nothing is a priority. So what is your priority? If you want to do something, you have to have a very clear strategy, a very clear message, a very clear objective for getting there. And then you don't devote time to tactics that don't get you there. You have to start with the end in mind, and that's a Covey quote. You have to start with what you want to do in order to figure out the tactics for getting there.
It just flows so logically. I guess it's so easy to say there's not enough hours in the day, I can't get it all done. The harder thing to do is to sit down and write down your priorities and write your plan and then fit what you do into that plan so you don't run out of time for the most important things, the big rock, so to speak, to credit Mr. Covey again.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, anybody can write the plan. It's sticking to it that's the problem.
It is, and that's where that masterminding, and because I do masterminding as well, and the coaching and the mentoring that you said comes in. Because again, it's like learning how to use social media. Anyone can teach you how to push the button and push the right link, but you have to know how to fit that within your business. So it's not like a one size all proposition here.
Well, and I would push back and say, why are you using social media at all?
There you go.
That you have to have a reason for doing things. You don't just do social media because it's the flavor of the day. But maybe blogging and tweeting and being on LinkedIn, maybe that has something to do with you attracting clients who will want to buy your product or services. Have a reason for doing things. Don't just do them because that's what everybody else is doing.
That's right. That's right. If there is a connection, then find the connection and direct your activities to make that connection work every day.
Absolutely.
I love that. Okay, now you also say that perfectionism can kill us off quickly. Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, that's back to the if everything's a priority, nothing is a priority. So many people, and once again we're coming back to self-esteem, tie excellence to their feelings of self-worth. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. That's where we feel our self-esteem because we're really good at something. But when we think we have to be perfect, that's when we derail. That most things don't have to be perfect. Now, brain surgery, yes. My taxes, yes. Most other things, no. You need to be 80% right. So don't take the time to look at it one more time, to hire a proofreader to look at it one more time. So what if something goes out with a mistake on it? People will still know what you meant. It's not going to be the end of the world. Is it worth the time and money to get this to nearly 100%? Because you can never be sure it's 100%. If you take that time and money that it will take to close the gap of 80 to 100, you've lost other opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I coach my clients about is don't waste your time there. That's where you're losing time every day, is trying to close that 20% gap. Mm-hmm. When you're 80% ready, move, and then go to something else and get it 80% ready.
This is priceless. Okay, and we're out of time, and I knew this would happen. When I read your book, I knew that we would run out of time because I knew that I would have a million questions and not have time to answer them all. But I do want to ask one of the most important ones, and that is, tell us a little bit more about where we can go on the Internet to meet you, buy your book, meet you online and buy your book. And also, if you do speaking, we'd like to know if we can come get a little taste of you live. How can we follow up and get more of you, Dr. Hemman? This is fantastic.
Well, there are several ways. First of all, you can go to Career Press and order the book. It's also available at Amazon.com. You can go to my website, which is Hemman, H-E-N-M-A-N, performancegroup.com. There are lots of free articles on my website that you can download. You can use them in your newsletters if you like, with attribution, of course. And if you belong to an association, ask your association president to request me to come speak at your event. There are some demo videos on my website as well, and you can see more about that there.
Excellent. So there's lots of ways that we can follow up with you. I love the fact that you have some nice downloads of articles, and I'm looking at them now. There's lots of them here, you guys. So be sure to go get this. Again, Dr. Hemman said, let's read. We need to read the Wall Street Journal. But for a person like her with 30-plus years of experience coaching executives, we can learn a lot and really call you a mentor long distance by just reading your writing. So thank you much so much for sharing that. The book is called Landing in the Executive Chair, How to Excel in the Hot Seat by Linda Hemman, Ph.D. I'm going to spell her last name for you, H-E-N-M-A-N, and it's HemmanPerformanceGroup.com. All right, Dr. Hemman, we have 60 seconds left. What is your word of encouragement for our listeners today?
Improve by 1% a day. Don't try to move 100 things ahead a mile. Move two or three things ahead, and you will find that you, in 72 days, it's a rule of 72, if you're 1% better a day, you'll be twice as good in just 2 months.
Improve by 1% a day. We can all do that, Indies.
We can all do that.
Dr. Hemman is living proof, so are her clients, and certainly check out Dr. Weiss as well, Million Dollar Consulting. He's helped Linda Hemman, and maybe reading him can help us as well. Dr. Linda Hemman, thank you so much for joining us on Indie Business Podcast today. We're going to follow up with you again, HemmanPerformanceGroup.com, everyone. It's Monday, the last day of October. Have a fantastic week. I'll see you next week right here on Indie Business Podcast. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.